This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am delighted to be with you. You know that because I get so excited just thinking about you all morning, waiting for this moment to come when we can spend this time together talking about issues important to your life and your faith, striving always to see what God's will is for us in the immediate situations that affect us, right? But also in those corporate situations that affect us, and keeping an eye to the future. How does all this play into my future? And what is the ultimate future? Eternal life. How does all of this lead me along that narrow path that brings to the widest of joys that we could ever know, life on high in Christ Jesus? So I encourage you always to be with us Monday through Friday at this same time. You never know what's going to happen on this program. I can tell you, I never know what's going to happen on this program. It's not scripted. We come to a microphone with an open heart and hopefully a receptive soul, and we just move forward together. I always encourage you to give us a call here. Oftentimes the Holy Spirit prompts you. Sometimes we sit there and do nothing about it. But I always think that if we hold back those promptings, we are depriving ourselves of the great grace that God wants us to know by way of that prompting, and we're depriving others too, because God works on our behalf, but He uses us to work on the behalf of others as well. And I'm thinking you know that already, because how many graces have you received through other people? Well, you know, they were the emissary of that grace. They were mediators of that grace, facilitators of that grace. So your questions are often that for other people. So to that end, let me give you a number to use. It's 833-288-EWTN. I hope you have that memorized. 833-288-3986. That is the toll-free number for you right here in North America for EWTN Radio Live. You know that after 4 p.m. Eastern Time, you can leave a comment or a question there for us, and we'll get it. We're always eager for you to do that. We have a direct line for that, too, though, and that is country code 1-205-795-5773. So you can use that number directly, even when we're on the air here, which, you know, our last program that airs, I said 4 o'clock. We now have that beautiful Beacon of Truth program with Deacon Harold Birksivers in that time period. So it's after 5 p.m. Eastern time that you can leave a call for us on the call-in line. But you can leave one for us on the direct line through all of the shows. And that is a country code 1-205-795-5773. You can also contact us if you're outside of North America. I don't want you to think we're leaving you in the dust if you're not living in North America. We're not. You know, our hand extends out to, you know, all locales, right, throughout the world. So we invite you to call us too. Your number is country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, country code 1-205-271-2985. So be sure to pick up the phone, give us a call. Let's be together in whatever way we possibly can. Encouraging you always to send your questions to us via email, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. is the way that you can do that. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. On one of those days when we dip into our mailbag and we do listener comment calls as well as taking your email questions and comments, we will get to yours. Now, during the show, if you don't want to call or you can't call for some reason, like you're at work, which makes me wonder if you should be listening to us, unless you can multitask, then I want you to know that we can hear from you via social media, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, available for you there. So leave your question or comment. If you're a first-time caller, first-time submitter, oh golly gee, I want to know because I've got my bell. And here it is. For those of you on social media, you can see my bell, and I ring it for you when you're a first-time caller to welcome you for your debut. Well, today's Wednesday. You know what Wednesday is in these here parts. Wednesday is Wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is waiting in the wings. She's going to be with us after that first break. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things that are important for your life of faith, important from the standpoint of the negative. What does that mean? What to avoid? right? We like to talk about what you include, but on Wednesdays, we talk about the things that we want you to avoid. Because if you get involved in these things, it's going to lead you down a path that is not going to take you the distance that you want to go. It's not going to lead you to life on high in Christ Jesus. It can lead you into various straits of confusion or doubt, worse yet, bondage to the things of darkness. Not that you can't get extricated, but golly, gee, we don't even want to open our hearts or our minds to such matters. We don't want to waste any time in our endeavor to the Lord. So we're going to talk about some things that can confuse you or lead you to that doubt, or worse yet, dear God, have mercy on us, lead you into some kind of a spiritual bondage so that that doesn't happen to you. We take your calls on all kinds of things wacky and weird, from the occult to New Age health therapies to crystals to yoga and other Eastern Oriental kinds of practices. We talk about them and we tell you why they're not compatible with the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. So if you have a question about any of those matters, it's not too early to call because our phone lines do get jammed up. Again, that number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I invite you to take advantage of the opportunity to talk directly with Sue today on those matters. I mean, she's an expert, you know. She is one of the only ones out there that has this extensive knowledge. And I believe that absolutely. And why do I believe that? Because I know that people that are involved in helping people out of these things actually reference our site to get the information that they need to know how to proceed. So that tells me something. That tells me about the value of this aspect of our ministry. And it tells you about the largesse of information that Sue has. So you can always consult our New Age blog. It's there for you 24/7. Every day. And that is our New Age Q&A blog. It's right there on our homepage. You can click on it. It'll take you there. You can reach it directly by going to newage.womenofgrace.com. You can search by topic area in there, and all of the articles that Sue has written about that topic will come up. And it's extensive. So you're not going to read just one article. In most cases, you're going to read a lot of articles. What is the purpose of all of this? Well, the purpose of all of this, obviously, is to keep you away from the powers of darkness, right? To safeguard you, to help you have the knowledge and develop the discerning tools that you need to stay away from it. But there's another part of this too. We really want to inculcate that discerning knowledge in your own heart and soul. We want to train you. Sometimes it's very inductive. You get trained simply by reading the articles. You know, that knowledge becomes intuited to you by way of what is being said directly, deductively, but also inductively. You begin to notice and you begin to see and you begin to have a feel for what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. So consult that, read about it. Want to let you know, we have an evening of grace coming up on May the 9th. Today is the first day of May, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And May 10th, I'm going to be at Ave Maria University for their Marian Eucharistic Conference. I'm very excited about it. I'm going to be joined there by people that you know, Raymond Arroyo, Mother Adela Galindo, myself, Kathleen Beckman, Father Rafael Capo, and Father Joseph Mary Rogers. It's going to be wonderful. If you are in that area, come. If you're not, well, make your way there. We want to be with you at Ave Maria University the weekend of May the 10th. Coming right back after the break. Stay with us. Well, there you have it. If you didn't know it was Wednesday, you do now, because it's Wacky Wednesday right here on Women of Grace Live. Sue Brinkman is with us. She's going to take your questions and your comments today about things that are weird and wacky that you see going on in our culture, maybe even within your home. I hope not, but it could be so. Even maybe within your church. I hope not, but it could be so. We are up against powers and principalities in our day and time. The good news is, though, they've been conquered. conquered. Oh yeah, they were conquered by way of the blood of the Lamb. So we have no reason to fear, but we do have to be aware, right? We have to be aware. Traps sometimes get laid for us, and if we're not aware of the trap, well, golly gee, we could get snared by them. So we want to keep our eyes open. We're looking forward to hearing from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. We certainly do. We also want to hear from you via social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page are available for you. Leave your question or comment in the chat feature there, and we will get it received and put up on the board, and we will be able to address it. So the toll-free number, if you're in North America, 833-288-EWTN. Social media, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page. If you're outside of North America, your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. So we invite you to join us here. We certainly do. Without further ado, let's welcome Sue. Welcome, Sue.
Hey, it rhymed. It rhymed today.
You know, I can't stand it.
You're on your game today. We're rhyming already.
I know. Well, Sue is an easy name to rhyme with, you know. Johnette, not so much, but Sue, we can come up with a few. There we go. Just did it again.
You do. You're good at this. You are good at this, my dear.
I don't know. I'm pretty wacky. That's what I do know. But that being said, Sue, you know, we continue to help people to understand what's going on in the culture so that they don't get snared by what it is that the culture would like to snare them with. Sometimes the culture is not aware of what it is that they're putting out there. Sometimes it is, you know. But we've got to walk carefully so that we don't step on some kind of spiritual landmine.
Oh, absolutely. And that the story, the big story that I have for today is exactly, that's the perfect example of you got to watch what landmines you step on out there, because there's a lot of things going on, and especially in our schools, that people need to be very wary of. This story, Johnette, is going to infuriate you. So I'm warning you and the readers. You're going to get furious after you hear this. But and there's a bright side to it. Former Chicago public school students have been granted by a judge class action status to pursue their case alleging that a school forced students to participate in transcendental meditation and Hindu practices against their will. The judge has said at first that the one child went to do the case, and they found out there were so many other students in that particular school. The judge said, come back with me and petition for to be able to have a class action. And that's what happened. And now other students are going to join this. Here's what happened to these children in school. They were told to participate in what's known as the Quiet Time Program. And it was sponsored by the David Lynch Foundation. And it taught transcendental meditation to the children. And it incorporated Hindu religious rituals in there. Now, listen, I read the declaration. Listen to what this young girl says they made her do. First, she had to sign a consent form to participate in the quiet time. Not her parents, her. She had to sign that. And she said, my entire class and I signed the consent because we felt pressure to sign. Our teacher told us that we would get in trouble and be sent to the dean if we didn't consent. And the teacher also told us that not signing the consent would affect our grades.
Oh dear.
So it gets, believe me, it gets worse from here. Additionally, she says, like many of my classmates, we had to sign a non-disclosure not to tell anyone, including our parents, about the program. And the representative from David Lynch Foundation said, especially don't tell your parents if they're religious.
Oh,
this is what's said to the children right in the classroom. She says they were then one by one individually escorted into what she described as an uncomfortably private one-on-one Hindu puja worship ceremony in a dark room.
Goodness.
With chanting, a variety of religious paraphernalia, and during instruction, the adult woman who was instructing them whispered a mantra into her ear, and told Hudgens not to disclose the mantra to anyone. However, the young girl, whose her name is Hudgens, she revealed that she and her classmates, they discussed the mantras, and they later looked them up, and guess what the mantras were?
Names
the
of
names
Hindu
of Hindu gods.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. She said how hurt she was that to learn that that school, the instructor, had participating in a religious practice without their knowledge and deliberately kept it from them. She says the meditation sessions that they were required to undergo felt like hypnosis or being in a trance. And she said, despite the fact that these situations felt abnormal, according to the girl, she took part because she was informed that not participating would negatively affect her grades and her academic record. So, and the teachers
coercion.
Would say to them, she would reward students with pizza. Some students were offered $100 to participate in the program. And one time she did complain and went to her teacher about it. And what does the teacher do? Sends her to the dean's office because she was questioning that program. So this young lady is now 21 years old, and she is now suing the school. And what's really infuriating to me about it is not the first time that David Lynch in the Chicago Public Schools got in trouble with the law. Less than a year ago, a judge awarded a Christian student named Mariah Green $150,000 in damages. She alleged she was coerced on the part of the school to participate in this program. And as her attorney, John Mock, said, you know, Mariah Green's Christian faith and her dedication to Jesus Christ makes worship of others such as those idols unthinkable. But she was told, again, that if she didn't participate, it would count toward her grades. And this young lady had transferred to that school specifically to play on the basketball team. And she did. What's she going to do? Risk being thrown off the team now for bad grades? So she had to go along with it. She was coerced into doing it. I mean, if this isn't infuriating, and it raises the question, Johnette, the kind of constitutional law we're talking about here, this is taught in eighth grade civics classes. You don't do things like this. You don't force religion on people like this, and especially not children. And I'm thinking just what you were saying as we were leading into this this discussion, you got to be really careful about these landmines out there. And if you're a parent, check out what your kids are being taught in school. Never mind that, it's just mindfulness or just learning how to be mindful. That's another one that several years ago, in 2019, lawyers from the American Center of Law and Justice went after these schools and started saying to them, hey, this is Buddhist meditation. No matter what you say it is, this is incorporating Buddhist meditation, and it can't be in those schools.
You know, it makes me wonder several things. Yeah, it makes me wonder several things, Sue. I mean, what is the benefit? What is the benefit for the David Lynch, you know, organization? Why? And what is the benefit for the school district? What is the benefit when the legal risks are so high and so great? I don't understand. What is the payoff for them to do such a thing? There's several questions. I mean, there's that question. I'd love to know what the motivation is. The fact that this usurpation of parental rights is something that we're seeing happening over and over again. We're seeing it here. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, we're seeing it with sex education. We're seeing it with, the school actually transing the kids, right? Taking them for abortions, yes. and all of this is under the cover and out of the sight of parents, and parents should be appalled, you know, up in arms, staging, you know, protests outside of the school, peaceful, but nonetheless, in some way, you know, being representative of the fact that you have no right over my child. This is my child, not your child. I mean, you know, we can see the ultimate, deal of the of Marxism and all of those things. I mean, this is these are the tactics, but I don't get specifically in this case what the deal is with this TM. What the takeaway is for this David Lynch or for the school districts?
Other than ideology, that's all I can think of is just ideology. They're just fanatical, about their ideology. They just want to wipe out. Do they want to wipe out Christianity? Is that what's behind it? Obviously, it is. They want to bring their Hindu faith, and they want to indoctrinate children into their faith. And they're literally forcing the students to do it. They're doing it behind the parents' back. But I think what the students are doing here on the bright side of the story is that they're suing. Mm-hmm. They are suing, and they should sue, especially for transcendental meditation, because in 1977, the Supreme Court already declared that repetition, any kind of quiet time or that is the repetition of mantra, is fundamentally religious in nature.
That's
and
right.
TM was thrown out of New Jersey public schools back in 1977 for that reason, because it's religious. So it's like somebody who was ever in charge of the schools isn't really up on their law, and they really need to be, because you can't be forcing students like this. And now we have a class action lawsuit. I think they're doing the right thing. This is the way you combat it, Johnette. You got to stand up
yep.
and say no. If I can't pray my rosary, if you can't have somebody leading us praying a rosary in the school, you can't have somebody leading us in mantra-based prayer in a school either.
Right.
I want to
ping off of this for a moment. And friends, we're inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, toll-free for you here in North America. 205-271-2925 is the number that you would use to give us a buzz if you are outside of North America. I want to ping off of this, Sue. A technique is a technique is a technique is a technique. And you cannot substitute Christian, words for the technique and think that you're changing the technique. And here I'm alluding to centering prayer. You and I
yes.
are big proponents for revealing that centering prayer is really transcendental meditation dressed up in a Christian dress. So you can't take the name of Jesus and substitute it for a Hindu god and think that you're doing something different. You're not. The process is the process is the process. The end result is the end result is the end result. And it frustrates me to no end that there continues to be this confusion between Christian spirituality and Eastern Oriental spirituality, mm-hmm. Christian mysticism, mm-hmm. rightly understood, and Eastern Oriental mysticism. So speak to that for a moment.
Well, I could say this as a Carmelite. Anytime you are using a word to block all thoughts, inspirations, impulses from your mind, what you're doing there is you're actually shutting down the Holy Spirit, so to speak. You're shutting him out because he speaks to us during prayer. Christian prayer is always a dialogue. It's a two-way dialogue between you and the Lord and you. That's what Christian prayer is. It's never just using the name of Jesus while you're using that name to blank your mind. That's what a mantra does. It pushes things out of your mind to achieve an empty mind. A blank mind. This is supposed to lead to enlightenment. This is why Eastern religions use mantra-based things. But it doesn't matter what name. You can be saying the name of Jesus. If you're just sitting there for 20 minutes twice a day, which is how TM is practiced, and saying the name of Jesus and chasing away all your thoughts, that's not prayer.
No.
That isn't prayer at all. You're just using the name of Jesus instead of the Hindu god.
Right.
But it's not... This is not the worship of Jesus Christ. And what does he tell us in Deuteronomy? He says, do not worship me the way the pagans do. He doesn't want that kind of worship. He wants you to worship him the way Christians worship him, the way he taught us through his church to worship him. This is what he wants. And it makes me feel bad as a Carmelite because I know that there's the different stages of prayer. And as you move from one stage to the other, the Lord invites you. And he invites you through certain types of impulses and suggestions in that. And you need to be able to respond to that and not keep pushing it away because you want to keep your mind blank. And it does is it stands in your way of spiritual progress rather than aiding it.
And this all stems from the fact of who the Hindu sees to be the prime mover, if you will. And in the Hindu perspective, the prime mover is a universal life force energy. We as Christians mm-hmm. know that's not the case. The prime mover is a triune being who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is personal and relational. The Hindu God is impersonal and non-relational. So centering prayer cannot aid us. It's not even good preparation for contemplation. It is not, because it's coming from an ideology that is very far different, a theology even, if you will, that is very far different from a Christian understanding and perspective and the revealed truth of sacred scripture. You know, when God the Father determined that we should know him, he sent his son. He sent his son, you know, who assumed our flesh, that we could relate to him, and in relating to him, know God. Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father, right? So, you know, this is just so antithetical, and it's not useful. The other part of that, I think that is good to mention, and I want you to talk about this too, with regard to authentic mysticism. You know, when you do TM, or centering prayer, you will feel peace, P-E-A-C-E, you will mm-hmm. feel peace. It is coming from brain chemistry. It is coming from what that procedure, that process, that technique does to the central nervous system. And you secrete hormones. And the hormones that you secrete bring about this sense of peace, well-being. It can lead to a type of euphoria. People mistake that for God. That is not Christian mysticism. It's not relational. It's not experiencing something that's being given to you from the other and by way of the other. It's coming from your own brain chemistry. And what ends up happening is, because you think that this euphoric state that you acquire, this peaceful well-being that you begin to experience, because you think that that is God, you begin to worship it. But what you're worshiping is your own brain chemistry. And now it is a sin, a very big sin, against the first commandment, because not only does that become an idol, but because we're worshiping ourselves in essence, you know, we stand in the place of God. We say we are God, which really completely nullifies the reality of who God is. So it's dangerous in every way. It's dangerous. You know, I want you to talk about Christian mysticism a little bit so that we can contrast those two, Sue, when we come back. But we're inviting you to give us a call. And that toll-free number here is 877-288-EWTN. There it is. I got myself off base there. There you go. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you. I fudged those numbers when I went to the break there, so let me correct myself yet again. You know, we want for you to give us a call here. We're eager to hear from you. 877-288-3986 is the toll-free number here in North America. That's 877-288-EWTN. Available for you out there if you're in outside of North America, 205-271-2985. It's Wacky Wednesday today. Sue Brinkman is with us. We are taking your calls today. In addition to that, we're receiving the comments that you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Sue's going to get into a little bit of Christian mysticism and how that contrasts with Eastern Oriental mysticism in just a minute. But, you know, true to my word, when we have a caller from outside of North America, we want to get to them right away. So, Sue, I'm going to take Teresa's call. Teresa is in Europe, eager to hear from her. So, Teresa, how are you today? Teresa, are you with us there? Hi, there you are, dear. Oh, welcome.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much, Johnette. I'm very happy to be here on the line, and I want to thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you, Teresa. And tell me, where in Europe are you?
In Scandinavia. Scandinavia. Yes. Up north.
Thank you. What is your question today, Teresa?
Thank you. My question is, when my children were young, or our children were young, I started to practice the transcendental meditation, and I got this mantra, and Well, I went one time for the course, but I started practicing it. I've always been a believer of God, but I grew up with my parents more or less practicing the Protestant church. And although my mother was born Catholic originally, and I know she prayed a lot for the Virgin of Guadalupe, and but she didn't share very much of her faith. But I've always been searching, and I don't know what happened to me, why I started doing this. And things started falling apart in our marriage. We got divorced when our children were only 1.5 years and 3 years old. And we've been struggling for many, many years, back and forth with a bad relationship, mainly. And tragic things have been happening in our family. But 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago, I converted to Catholic, become Catholic, and it has been the biggest blessing of my life. But my question is, if this, in the first place, I have a hard time forgetting this mantra, not that I think of it very much, but when I heard you talking about this, it came back, and it was very, it's a bit, you know, scary. And also, I wonder if all that could have part of what's happened in our lives. That's one of my questions.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for your question. It's a very good question. And, you know, my heart goes out to you for all that you've experienced through these many years. So, Sue, I'm going to have you answer Teresa's question.
Yeah. One of the problems with transcendental meditation and that mantra, that is the name of a Hindu god. So all these years you've been calling out to that god, and what we have learned through our church fathers is that demons hide behind them. There's no such thing as these gods, but demons will sometimes answer them. That's the possibility that has happened, and they have answered you. And some of the things that happened in your life were oppression, that you were being oppressed by these demons. They were harassing you. The one thing, Teresa, you would want to do is make sure that you have confessed this and that you renounce, reject, and repent of having ever uttered any worship toward that particular mantra. And I would definitely see a priest about that. I would definitely go to confession, confess that you did participate in it, that you did have a mantra. You understand it was the name of a Hindu god. You want to confess having had anything to do with that. And you should be okay after that. You should be okay. It's the fact that it's taunting you and kind of haunting you, it concerns me and says that, you know, something may have attached to you. And that's why you're never able to forget that word. So it's possible, Teresa, that happened.
I didn't practice it for so long like that, but I did a lot of other New Age practices and, you know, mindfulness and all of this because I was working in the healthcare industry, and I'm an occupational therapist, and I've been working and at the hospitals. We practiced mindfulness and all of these things at work. So I started going into this terrible New Age things, and actually one day it just broke off. It was the Holy Spirit that just showed me. It was like I was almost burnt because I was. I didn't understand what I was doing, practicing these things. And all of a sudden, I started searching for Catholic churches, and it was like I was not able to enter, and it was a closed doors in the Catholic Church. I was wondering, why don't they want any more practitioners in the church? I was a bit concerned about that, but finally the doors opened, and I'm very, very blessed. And even I said sorry to my husband, my ex-husband, of what I've done, and I didn't specify exactly things I've done. It's been many things that the Holy Spirit has shown me that I've done wrong. I didn't think ever I did anything wrong. I always blamed him for everything. But it's very tragic, really. And but now we have a good relationship. But you know, we're divorced, and our children have suffered very much from this. So,
you know, it's interesting, Teresa. I'm sorry, dear. I didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead.
No, not at all. No, I just wanted to say that I think I have confessed this, but when I did my general confession, when I entered the church, I had so many things, so but I might as well do this again in case I've already done it. I don't know, but...
Well, it never hurts. And it's not necessarily that there's the oppressive element, as Sue rightly pointed out. Oftentimes, too, when there is any kind of tension in a home, the demonic forces will exacerbate it. So they don't always cause it, but they can exacerbate it. They can make it worse. And the good news is that things seem to be leveling out for you, which I think is an indication of the beauty and the wonder of our faith and the one who our faith is centered, around, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the Lord and not these false elements. So what I would suggest is anytime you're tempted, that mantra comes back into your mind, just pronounce the name of Jesus with reverence and love. Jesus, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And if that is a demonic spirit, then it will flee. It cannot stand up under it, and do it until you feel as though you've been relieved of the burden of that memory or that insinuation into your mind. The evil one and the spirits cannot read your thoughts, but they can insinuate. They can provoke. And it sounds like there was a whole lot of that going on. But I'm so happy that you're at this point. The other thing, Teresa and Sue, you can speak to this, is that, the fact is Teresa was in the healthcare industry. She was an occupational therapist. And we know that the healthcare industry is riddled with this stuff, especially in the therapeutic areas of the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely it is. And you have Reiki's all over the place in hospitals. The Catholic institutions aren't permitted to, in the United States now, aren't permitted to use Reiki in there because of the problems with Reiki. It's occult oriented. It's actually direct contact with the occult in the practice of Reiki. But other things are going on in hospitals too, with the mindfulness type stuff, where they're introducing mindfulness, that they say, well, we're just teaching people how to focus on the present moment. Well, what they don't tell you is that they use Buddhist meditation techniques in order to help you and to teach you how to, focus on the present moment. So that's what's wrong with that. But I would say, Teresa, if you have confessed all these things, just rely on Jesus' mercy. He has forgiven you. And maybe you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to learn how to forgive yourself. For what has happened, for what you were involved in, for what you believe it might have done to your family and that sort of thing, and learn how to come to be at peace with yourself about this. We're all human, and God has forgiven you, and he's showing you great mercy, and you need to do that for yourself too.
Yeah. Well, Teresa, thank you so much for your call today. We really, really do appreciate it. Teresa was with us via the EWTN app. If you are outside of North America and even inside North America, the EWTN app provides you with a way to contact us. Of course, we've got that number for you as well, not toll-free, country code 1-205-271-2985. Teresa, God bless you. Stay in touch with us, Teresa. We really appreciated your call and excellent question that you asked today. And also, too, may I say, your transparency and authenticity and even asking it, being candid. People will have grown from your comment today and your question. Thank you so much, Teresa. We're going to go on to Ted. Ted is a first-time caller for us in Lake Charles, Louisiana, using a different bell to ring for you. How are you, Ted?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good, good. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good right now. Now I'm talking to you guys.
Well, we're happy you're with us. And for everyone to know, Ted is with us via Sirius XM Station 130. So what's going on, Ted?
So just real briefly, my son, he was staying by himself, and we went over there, and he was in some kind of a trance, catatonic state. He had been diagnosed with some type of schizophrenia or something way back when, last year sometime. But I didn't understand what was going on. And he was repeating, lat we, this is this, lat we. And so I started piecing together some of the things through what he was saying. We have to bring him to the hospital. Currently, he's still in the hospital. Good news is he did call yesterday, and I believe the medicine, the chemicals, snapped him back to him, to his normal self. But he's currently still in the hospital. But he was saying Latwe and what else? We will do this in the law of one. So I did some research on it, and basically it was an alien contactee, which is really demonic, that started in the 60s. And these people, LNL research, goes all the way up to 1980. They graduated to another demonic entity, I believe it's called Raw. And they published a lot of stuff. I think he got caught up with that.
Wow. Sue?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's well, you know more about that than I do, as far as a lot we is concerned too. I know there's some sort of an alien creature is named Latwe. There's also some video gaming out there under the name of Latwe. It's Latwii is how that's
yeah.
pronounced. Yes, yeah. I've seen that, but I don't. The all is one and all that. I'd have to really look into all that before I can really comment on it, because I just don't know. All is one. It's kind of a core philosophy of the New Age, but I have a feeling that's not what you're talking about. I think this is a movement, but all in one is a core philosophy of the New Age. Many Eastern religions are based on the notion that we are one with whatever divinity we worship, as well as with each other. That we're all one. And the reason they believe that is they believe that their God in the New Age is a universal life force that permeates all beings, and therefore we all have God within us because we've got that life force within us. Of course, the life force we know doesn't exist, number one. And number two, we know that that's not who God is. God has identified himself the way he did in Scripture, the way he did to Moses over the burning bush. He says, I am who am. He didn't say, I am what is. He identified himself as a person, as a personal God. So, but I would have to look in a little bit more about the Latwe about that. I'm sorry about what's going on with your son. And we'll continue to keep him in our prayers for sure. And I'm glad to hear that he is starting to come around. But there's a lot of this alien stuff going on right out there right now. And it's got people really up in arms as far as what's actually happened. We have stories on our blog about, you know, so-called alien abductions and that. And, you know, some of the stories are just really far out. But there's also other things that make us wonder what is going on out there. So I'm sorry I can't give you more information on Latwe. I really wish that I could. But we will keep your son in our prayers for sure.
You actually answered it almost perfectly from the research I did. Latwe, it's a social consciousness. You know, they got all this, you know, first, third density, fourth level, and all these dimensional things. And you are nailing it. It's Latwe. It's Latwii. If you want to do some more research on it, because I'm pretty sure this stuff is going around, just like you said.
Ted, love doing research on stuff, and I love you for calling in and giving me something that I can work on, because I love this stuff. I will look it up, and I will come back at you with this at some point. I will on
yeah.
Latwe. I will find out whatever I can.
And the thing, too, Ted, is that, you know, again, when we open ourselves up to these things, these demons take advantage of it, but they'll also take advantage of any of our vulnerabilities, whether those vulnerabilities come by way of activities of sin, whether they come by way of our natural weaknesses that are part of our temperament, or whether we're in difficult times or straits. They'll take advantage of us when we are physically suffering, and they will take advantage of us when we're mentally suffering. So if you find yourself in a position, perhaps like your son is, where he's captivated by these things, just in his interest areas, and he is schizophrenic, they will take advantage of that. They certainly will. They won't cause it, but they will definitely take advantage of it. So we'll remember him, as Sue said, in our prayers, and we'll remember you too, as you strive to be the dad to him that he needs to have. It's not an easy task. It's a great challenge, and yet it can be heroic virtue that leads us to the heights of sanctity. So we'll pray for that outcome for you, Ted.
So much. Thank you.
You're welcome, and God bless you. Well, okay, Sue, you know, these are really powerful questions today.
Yes,
we have Stan now from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening to us via Holy Family Radio. Good morning to you, Stan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It was a pleasure talking with y'all. My wife has left church and has gotten into Reiki and other practices, and I'm a bit disturbed by the whole thing, and I just don't know what to think about the whole thing, and honestly, I'm not sure how to really have a good conversation even with her about it, because she seems to be a bit shut off. And I'm just not sure how to go about even attempting to have a good conversation about this with her, but I don't even know if I can at this point. But
okay.
I was wondering if you all had any comments or suggestions.
Well, thanks, Stan.
Yes.
First of all, of course, we'll pray. I tuck all of these prayer intentions into my rosary every day.
Me too.
So there you go. You've got two prayer intercessors for you here. And I'm sure that the same is true of so many of our listeners. And of course, that's the first thing that we do is we pray. Because if the person is not open to receiving what it is that we're going to offer, then, you know, that seed of truth that we're offering is going to fall upon hard ground, and it's not going to be absorbed by the soil of the soul so that God can cultivate it and bring it to the, you know, fullness of benefit that he desires. Sue, what about this?
Well, the very first thing that I would do, Stan, of course, is pray. But educate yourself on Reiki, so that you're prepared when the right moment comes. Like right now, you're saying that you don't feel like you can even have a conversation with her right now. Maybe that's because you're not ready to have that conversation. Maybe just take a little bit of time. If you do go out to womenofgrace.com and you go out to our New Age Q&A, you'll see it. It's right on the front, right on the homepage. Just click on that and then type in Reiki in the search thing, and it'll teach you. There's several blogs in there that will teach you, and they're short. They're not long blogs, maybe 1,000 words. And it'll tell you what Reiki is. So now you'll get an idea of what you're up against here. Chances are she doesn't know any of these things. She doesn't know that the universal life force energy that she is channeling, she more than likely does not know that doesn't exist. There's no scientific basis for it. The blog gives you links so that you can read up on that and be able to answer those questions. I have found the best way is to educate people, because as we read in scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And a lot of times people will be more open than you think to hearing stuff that's factual. But you have to do it at the right time. And that's why if you get yourself prepared, you'll be ready when that moment comes. And you'll know when. The Holy Spirit will prompt you because you've been praying about it. He'll prompt you like, this is the time, and say something to her. You know, keep these, maybe print out these blogs and keep them handy. And if she does have a chance, maybe you can get her to read it. But right now, what she's consorting with Reiki, she is channeling this life force, which they refer to as the Reiki source. And she has a spirit master, a spirit guide, who is guiding her in doing this. So she is right now in league with occult beings, okay, with demonic beings right now. That's who's leading her along. The reason she doesn't want to hear it is because more than likely, of course, she's in bondage to it. If she's a Reiki master, she has gone through 3 attunements. And that's pretty serious. In order to break the bonds now with the beings that she has attached herself to, she's going to probably need deliverance from a priest. It's very serious. Reiki is a very serious thing. There are grave spiritual dangers associated with it. The U.S. bishops have condemned the use of Reiki in any Catholic institution. It doesn't hold up to any natural science either. It's just completely flaky. So what I would do, Stan, to get started on it is for you to work on yourself, pray up, educate yourself, and be ready when that right moment comes that you can talk to your wife and get her back.
That's right. And Stan, when you do, you know, the best method to use is to ask questions, certainly not to have an accusing tone. Ask her, well, explain to me what this is about. Help me to understand. Questions like that to get her talking so that then you have, a peaceable way of having this exchange, because she won't be happy to hear what you have to say. Well, I'll tell you, we were happy to hear what you had to say, Stan, and happy that all of you called in today. Sorry I can't get to you, Joe, or the other person that's calling in right now. We'll be back with you again next week. With Sue, I'll be back tomorrow. God bless you now. Bye-bye.